I'm Jess Fama. This is In Your Ear, and that was just a little piece of a new song that has not yet been released by Vegas Nerve called Pull Me Out. And I'm super excited because today in studio with me, I have former member of God Forbid, the guitarist and backup singer for cover act Rebel Noise Group. He's also a writer for VH1 Metal Column, and most recently, why he's here today to talk about his latest project, Vegas Nerve. It's Doc Coyle.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Thank you for coming on. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good, you know. I've been working the Kickstarter campaign for Vegas Nerve for going on 3 weeks right now, and I basically just redline it every night, you know, because there's so much, we're producing a lot of content, and you know, like I released an article today, so I had to like write that, and I'm doing another article for VH1 where I'm going to kind of tie it in, and all this stuff is very time sensitive.
All right, hold on.
We got to get a little ahead of ourselves.
Yeah, people might not know who Vegas Nerve is
They
yet.
Don't know, they don't
let's,
know.
Let's start there before we jump head first into
You asked me how I am, and I'm young. Some people say, how are you? And then what do they say? I'm fine. I'm good. That's what they expect to say. No one asks, do you know who I am? And expect people to be like, you know, I'm really bad. My wife just left me. I lost my job. I'm contemplating suicide. They're like, no, man. When I said, how are you? That was just...
It was just being nice.
Yeah. I don't really want to know how you really are.
Well, I really do want to know who you are, how you are. I know who you are, but I want to know how you are.
I told you.
I did. And you told me all the truth of it. So I like that. But let's back up just a little bit. Start here. Start with Vegas Nerve. Vegas Nerve is your new project, your new band that you put together. And you started this with Ravi, who is the singer of your band.
Yeah.
Now, you found Ravi on YouTube, randomly?
A friend of mine, who's a drummer, basically this guy Donnie, hit me up. And it was funny because I was playing this other project, which had ended, and I was in Florida, kind of like contemplating like, my life. Kind of like,
where do I go?
What am I going to do? I had all this music that I'd written that I didn't know I was going to do with. And literally like a day later or two, day or two later, my friend Donnie hit me up and he's like, hey man, I found this singer. And you know, I don't know when you're coming back home, but you know, I was thinking about maybe doing a cover band or something, this guy. And I went, and he had a lot of, so his YouTube is actually under the name Philo Taxis Music.
That's how you say it. I wasn't sure.
I mean, I could be wrong. I'm just assuming phonetically that's what it seems like, how it's supposed to be pronounced. But so he had a bunch of acoustic covers, and then he also had some original material from a solo album.
Material, he did everything on that album, right?
Wrote everything, played every instrument, recorded it. I think the first album, he had someone else mix it. And then he might have done the drums at another studio, but, and then he has a new solo album where I think he literally did everything, and he actually even mixed it. He did all the production side of things. So yeah, he's this guy, this amazingly talented guy who lives in the middle of Pennsylvania, well, not the middle of Pennsylvania, but basically the middle of nowhere in Pennsylvania, like not too far from Philadelphia. And he has never really played with a real band before. He hasn't done a lot of live performance. You know, it's kind of like you find this like random gem out there that people just, you know, people don't know about.
And he's super talented. And his voice is just, it's beautiful. And it's so good. I can't wait to play the song for everybody so everybody can hear it. Who hasn't heard it yet?
Yeah, well, my friend Megan Wright, who's a singer-songwriter she's from Hawaii, but she lives in New York, and she was like, me and her were actually kind of seeing each other a little bit while we were putting this stuff together. So we were spending a lot of time, and she's like, she heard some of the early demos. It's like an acoustic version of one of the songs. And she's like, he doesn't need you. I always remember that. And I'm like, I know, but I've tricked him into playing with me.
That's awesome. And then you guys brought in one of Ravi's friends, Aiden.
Yeah, so they were friends. And Aiden actually has a degree in music, so mm-hmm. he he knows the stuff, and he's a lot like Ravi in that he plays pretty much every instrument, does songwriting, does production stuff. I don't think he really sings much, but and when we were like the first time we actually all jammed, it was you know, we were trying out another drummer, and then I think Aiden was playing bass, and then he's more of a guitar player, so he actually wanted to try out guitar. So we did a thing with him playing guitar, and I didn't really think he was the right guy for guitar, but I thought he'd be good on bass, and just to have, like, you know, especially when you're dealing with like people multi-instrumentalists, you kind of right. realize they're just an asset to the band. It's like, I just want a good musician in the band. Like, I don't know if you've ever seen Weezer live, but you'll see stuff where they're like switch instruments and one dude will sing. Now that dude was playing bass, now he's playing drums. Like, I almost feel like this band is almost like that, where like my guitar player could like play keys on a song and maybe we'll just have one guitar on that song or whatever, you know, or like our drummer Mo, he's an amazing singer, you know. It's like, he could, well, Rob, you play drums on this song, Mo will come up and he'll sing lead on this song.
Well, and Mo, he comes from a gospel background.
Well, correct? Yeah, he started playing in the church, and you know, and you can kind of tell just the way he plays that he has that, but he literally plays every style. Like, probably his favorite style of music is probably like post-hardcore and like indie rock, you know, but he can play death metal. When I the first time I saw him play, he was playing in his R&B pop band, you know. So he does you know, he does a lot of stuff in Jersey, which is with a lot of pop stuff, a lot of hip-hop. He can literally play any style, and I used to work at School of Rock in.
Well, I was going to ask you that actually, if that's how you guys met, because I noticed that he was doing stuff at School.
Well,
of
actually,
Rock.
Megan, who I mentioned, I met him through her actually, and then we just stayed in touch, and he actually brought me up to School of Rock a couple of times before I worked there to, like, you know, to talk to the kids and kind of do a little things. They were doing a metal show. And then when I got off the road with God Forbid, we'd been in touch about something, you know, I was saying I was looking for some work, and then he got me in at this one School of Rock. But he's literally he's been like the manager of Schools of Rock. Like, I go in there and you see him like with a room of like 10 6-year-olds and is able to get them to pay attention and play a song. You're like, and it's like, he's like a mastermind, but he plays same thing. He can play guitar, he can play bass, he can write songs, he knows music. Like, just every guy in the band is a great musician.
And then you filled out the band with your second guitarist, Mike, mm-hmm. who you know from Mother.
Yeah, he was in this band Mother. He's still in this band Mother. And what we did was when we basically had the four guys and we were looking for another guitar player. We actually, that was kind of the first time we ever put anything out publicly with the band, and we essentially made a little teaser clip where we showed three or four of the demo, actually pretty much all the songs that are gonna be in the EP, like little clips of the demos that we had, like maybe like little 30-second clips, mm-hmm. and said we were looking for a guitar player. So we actually just did like an open call to like the internet, and it kind of got spread around a little bit and got actually a lot of feedback. A lot of people were interested. So I basically went through all the submissions, you know, guys sent in their, you know, videos of them playing and their websites and good people. And then there's a couple people I reached out to personally. I was like, hey, would you be interested? So we basically whittled it down to maybe like four or five guys. And then we did like auditions, like for real, like professional type auditions where we actually did it at the School of Rock. And then we basically scheduled guys like to come in for like an hour, hour and a half, play one or two songs, talk to him for a little bit. And, you know, and Mike came in. I was actually surprised to even hear from him because he was in Mother. Like, right. I never would have approached him on my own because I don't poach guys from bands. You know, it's not.
You have respect for that.
yeah. It's just not, you know, but the fact, but he reached out and said he'd be interested because he kind of dug the music. And then he came in, and it was really between him and this other guitar player who's really great, but Mike it just was perfect, you know, because his, like, he actually uses the same amplifier as me, so like the tones matched. He had these really great effect pedals, and if anyone really understands the band, or you know, you'll kind of get it when they hear the full EP, is that it's very atmospheric and you need to be able to do a lot of different things, mm-hmm. and it's also because of the type of musicians we have, being in the moment and being improvisational is really important, and it's something that some players, especially metal players, just aren't good at.
Well, I do have to say, with the lineup that you have, and obviously I went and researched everybody before this, but you all come from such diverse musical backgrounds that I think that's why I really enjoy Vegas Nerve, because you, it's not just, like, I know you have it kind of classified under rock, but there's so many other tones of, you have metal, and I noticed that in one of the articles it was metal with not the capital M, mm-hmm. but yeah, it has like, and you have so many undertones of, you know, other types of music in there. And so I just think that makes it so much more full when you're listening to something. It's not like you're just listening to one thing.
Yeah, I mean, I, to be honest, when it comes to the, you know, as someone, you know, as a writer who like does a lot of articles based on maybe a subcategory or a subgenre, you know, I don't even know if it's my place to even really categorize the band. That's really kind of for people to do, and
right.
and because I'm in it, so it's almost, I'm not really objective. You know, I might have an intention of what I want the band to be seen as, mm-hmm. but I can say, oh, it's a, but and to me, rock is a very generic term. It's just like, you know, yeah. It's not, like I said, if I were to release the first song on the EP first, people might say the band is a metal band. But if I were to release the last song, people would say, oh, this is like progressive, you know, mellow rock, you know. So it's, you know, as far as I'm concerned, that's not really up to me. Like, I try and describe it, but I always feel like I come up a little short. And like I said, it's only, this EP is four songs and an intro. It's clocks in right maybe a little over 20 minutes. So who knows with the next group of songs,
right.
like what the band is going to be down right. the road.
Now, you guys live so far apart from each other, all of you.
Yeah.
And I mean, you got someone in Pennsylvania, New Jersey, here. So do you do everything online?
We have since I moved, but we basically, the recording of the EP was the last thing I did before I moved. I was literally tracking guitars, I think on a Sunday night. And then I got in my car to drive out here like on a Wednesday.
Wow.
You know, that's that. And we had a bunch of problems with the recording, so I had to redo a bunch of stuff. But I had to make sure all my principal tracking was done.
Right.
And then after that, really, you know, there was a, you know, a couple odds and ends and vocals and some stuff like that I didn't really need to be there for. But we did all that before I left. So since then, yeah, it's been phones, it's been emails, it's been conference calls, you know, and it's also, you know, guys are busy. This is not,
yeah.
you know, the where this band is at, it's, like I said, it's very much, it's a passion project. It's a hobby. It's something you have to do in your spare time. You know, maybe now that we're in the midst of the crowdfunding, it's basically, as while it's running, as far as I'm concerned, it's my job.
Right.
But previous to that, it's always something I had to do in between just making a living.
Yes.
In between life. Yeah. And you know, and I've played in, you know, probably three or four different projects since then, you know, like where that it's taken a lot of my time, whatever. So it's always been, you know, whether it's playing with the cover band, whether it's, I was playing with this band, The Killing Lights, whether it's playing with the Mates Hall project.
And Westfield Massacre. You've been all over Westfield, the place.
Yeah, exactly. I've played with Mass Mental. So it's always been something that we're doing in our spare time, which is part of the reason why it's been very slow, because there would be maybe weeks on end, or maybe a month, where you just can't work on it.
Right.
You know, but everything was leading up to really this moment right now. And it definitely makes things difficult.
I need to get into the name Vegas Nerve, because I have to, because it's so cool. And I doubt many people, unless they Googled it, know what the Vegas Nerve is. But it's a part of our body, and it's one of our major functions in our body.
Yeah.
And I looked up and found, because I thought it was interesting.
Wikipedia did it?
Oh, no.
WebMD did it?
This is under Mental Floss, because I'm a huge fan of Mental Floss. I don't know if you know that.
I don't know about Mental Floss.
You would actually enjoy it, I think. You should check it out. But I was a subscriber to their magazine. But this is online. But the vagus nerve causes 9 major things for us. I'm going to share them with you really quick.
Yeah, you might know more than I do.
I'm just saying. So the vagus nerve prevents inflammation. It helps you make memories, helps you breathe. It's intimately involved with the beating of your heart. It initiates your body's relaxation response. It translates between your gut and your brain. It causes the overstimulation of the vagus nerve is the most common cause of why people faint. Electric stimulation of the vagus nerve reduces inflammation and may get rid of it altogether. And last but not least, vagus nerve stimulation has created a whole new field of medicine to help treat us when we have things wrong with us.
Yes. Well, and that's, you know,
just 9 random facts about the vagus nerve.
Well, someone on Blabbermouth made it a point to say that it helped control your shitting capability.
Well, I mean, yeah. Technically, yes, and, but
well, it was basically a long form way of saying that the band was shit.
So, oh no!
It's Blabbermouth. It's okay. It's fine. I don't. I'm actually kind of a fan of shitty comments on like internet websites.
Actually, I read that comment. Now that's all actually triggering into my brain right now. I remember that comment on your Facebook.
Yeah, like I don't like. Actually, like I don't. I think, you know, when I was younger, I probably had a different relationship to it. I took it like really hard.
Right.
You know, and that was also too, was the beginning of the internet. So you didn't, yeah. even, you didn't really know how to take it. But now, like, as long as it's like creative
yeah.
and it's funny, like I have really no problem with people dissing myself. Plus I legitimately think this. I think, you know, some things are for some people, some things are not for other people.
Right. It's one of those things. You can show someone something and 50% are going to like it and 50% are going to hate it. And that's just how it's always going to be.
I've no, you know, but if someone, I think the only thing that does bother me, if someone says something that's inaccurate
right.
or says something that's like, for example, like this, you know, this one guy commented and he's like, what does he mean that it's without ulterior commercial motives. He put out a press release. And it's like, well, one, I didn't put out a press release, or I don't have a press agent. I literally just like emailed the guy at Blabbermouth or sent them a Twitter. I was like, hey, I just launched this. And then they post it. And they did the whole thing in Blabbermouth is completely stuff they wrote. Like they took
right.
they took from the Kickstarter. But it's like, well, A, I launched a Kickstarter. So I have to raise money. So there is a commercial element to that. What I meant by not having commercial ulterior motive, I think people don't really understand when you actually start playing with a lot of different people and get involved in a lot of quote unquote professional music situations, you hear bands talk and producers talk and labels talk. And yes, they're in a room and they're like, we got to get a radio hit and this has to be, and we got to look this way and it has to, we can't have that guy in the band because he weighs too much.
Yeah.
And we can't like,
oh, everything is a formula.
Yeah. So it's like, yeah, this band, like I've literally done every, like I'm sitting there talking with, I probably shouldn't mention his name, but I'm talking to someone who's very involved in the record industry. And was saying, man, Doc, man, you should have got a record deal. You should have did this. And it's like, yeah, I could have done all that stuff, but I purposely didn't want to do that stuff because I don't want anyone else's hands on it.
Right.
To say now, because then once you sign a record deal, now they're going to say, hey, man, maybe we should cut that song. Maybe, you know, maybe we need to, you know, hey, Robbie, we should, you know, pop that shirt off, man, you know,
right.
or whatever. And I'm not saying that would even happen.
But the thing is you don't know, because when you put yourself in someone else's hands, that's exactly what they can do, is they can mishmash whatever they want, and you're kind of on their knees to them because yeah. they basically own you.
Well, a lot of people, when they hear the band, after I explain kind of like the vibe of how everything came together, they're like, oh, man, this could be on the radio. I was like, well, it's not like we sit there and like, let's make songs that are not catchy.
Right.
That was not what we just made the songs we want to make, you know, but the thing is, I think you can make accessible music that's not bullshit.
Right.
That's not just like, oh, we have to do what this band is doing, or the chorus has to come in within 30 seconds, or the song can't be longer than 3 minutes, or, you know, there's all these rules, you know, to me, you know, people know me as a metal musician, but you know, I'm as big a fan of rock as I am of metal, and the 90s era of rock, you know, I think it was a creative explosion.
Mm-hmm.
And every
totally
band
agree.
Was different, and I look, and like one of my the one things that inspired me was Pearl Jam 20. You ever seen that documentary?
I haven't seen that
documentary. You should watch it. But you see like this band who became like one of the biggest bands in the world.
Yeah.
And you hear them talk about their band, and you hear about, there was no, they weren't sitting there writing that album like, man, this is going to get all K-Rock.
Right.
They weren't doing that. They were just doing what they wanted to do. And it so happened that it became this thing. And I'm trying to do that. And when you try and explain that, even people are like, you know, of course he had to go out of his way to say that it wasn't commercial. Like I'm trying to qualify. I'm not trying to qualify. I'm just giving you. The thing is, you can't even say anything in a way that's genuine without people think you're being calculating.
Right.
Or that, you know, there's like some chip on my shoulder about I'm worried that people will think that I'm being.
Actually, one thing that I can totally vouch by personally knowing you is that, one, you are a ridiculously fair person. You are just in general well calculated before you speak anyway. You're not someone who just like blubbers things out of your mouth and just says things to say them. I think that when, for example, if someone was to say, Doc, would you listen to this song or whatever, I think that you would listen to it, and I think that you would give actual real feedback and not bullshit to someone, which is important. I think that you do that for yourself too. You're not bullshitting anybody here. You're not saying like, oh, we're doing this thing, but we're not doing it with the intentions of this. Like, no, I think everybody's intention when they do something is, yes, you would love to see it move ahead, but you're doing it on your own terms. You're not worried about, oh, we need to get a label or, oh, we need to get a radio song. You're doing what you want to do to make you guys fulfilled in this band.
Yeah,
and that's awesome.
I just, when I have the collection of people involved, and it's, you know, it's a kind of collection of like, a couple guys who have not really been involved on the professional side of music things. It's people who are kind of like in that world and they're trying, like, especially with Mike and Mother, mm-hmm. like they're out there working it and really trying to build something. You know, but it's not, there's no one that's like, I want to be a rock star.
Yeah.
You know, they want to, these are musicians.
Yeah.
You know, that, I don't think people really understand the difference in that. Listen, I know how to be a rock star, but I think that thing is, that's a charisma thing, that's a performance thing, that's mm-hmm. kind of like being a character
yep.
thing, which is effective, and it's something, you know, it's something I think I can turn on that some people just don't have, but, and you can have that, and you can, you know, but I don't care about that. Like, I care about being a musician,
right?
You know, and like I said, I really don't know what's going to happen, because a lot of people are like, so when's the band going on tour? When are you doing that? I'm like, listen, dude, just one step at a time. And people yeah. have a difficult time with that. What do you mean? It's like, no, we're going to do the record. And because the thing is, when I first moved out to LA, the idea, basically I got the idea talking to Ravi, because he was going to move out here. And because of certain situations in his life, it just hasn't happened very quickly. But I would never be in a situation where I'm like, you need to move out here. You fucking, man, this is important and we're going to do it. We're going to, it's like, no, man. I mean, I get the onus behind that and how some people operate. But I just don't want to force anything. I think you have life and music is important, but I've seen people ruin kind of the foundation of their lives to try and make a band happen, or ruin their marriage because they wanted to go on tour, or destroy themselves financially because they, you know, they lost money or they're trying to force something to happen that wasn't a natural,
just wasn't organic
flow. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Towards like, or like people just trying so hard to, because, you know, if people don't like your band, or if there's no, you don't have enough fans, this, you know, you can't do these things. Like,
right.
You don't sell, like, it's not that people want, all these bands are like, we need to sell a million records because we need to make all this money. If no one's buying your concert tickets, then the promoters won't book you. If they won't book you, you can't go on tour. If you can't go on tour, you're not really doing a band. So you kind of need people to care to actually do it.
Right.
And I would rather I would rather cultivate people giving a shit about what you're doing, you know, on a really small, organic, real level with the music itself. And listen, I don't know if it'll work or if people won't care, but if they don't, that's fine. Like, I've already made peace with it.
Right.
But it doesn't mean I'm not going to do everything I can to actually get people to listen to it. And that's what the guy who was like, why is he saying it? Why did he hand out a press release? Because, well, just because I don't have ulterior motives doesn't mean I don't think people should hear it. Or, and I said this to someone else, I feel people who are fans of what I did in God Forbid, I feel I owe it to them to reach out to them and let them know, just so that they can decide for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
have you had a lot of, like, since you've been promoting this? Have you had a lot of God Forbid fans kind of be like, what happened, since it's a completely different style for you?
I don't think I've had too much of that, because I more often than not, I'm sure if someone doesn't like it, they just won't tell me.
Right.
I don't think they would go out of the way to be like, listen, man, this sucks and you're terrible and fucking why are you not metal? I had one guy, because what I've been doing, I found the best methodology to promote it is really direct contact, just sending out messages. Because, listen, you could put out a post on Facebook, but you don't know how many people see it.
Exactly.
So it's just really, and it's not like, hey, spam people and kind of guilt them. It's not that. It's just, hey, I got this thing going on. If you have time, if you have a little extra cash, check it out, support it. If not, like, I totally understand, especially, and I don't want pity money. I don't want people to give if they don't really like it. I don't want people to give. If you don't have money, if you're broke, fucking just save it. Like, dude, it's not a problem. Like,
yeah.
I'm not, it's a very interesting thing. I don't think like a salesman. That's not the way my brain works. So it's pretty crazy, to kind of be in that position where you're like, oh, I have to sell myself. But I kind of forgot what I was saying. But so I had this one guy who was a big fan. He was like, listen, dude, yeah, it's like, really glad you're doing stuff, but it's just not really my thing. It's like, I pretty much only listen to like, jazz fusion, and like extreme metal. And it's like, and we ended up talking on Facebook for like maybe 10, 20 minutes, just about different things, about music, whatever. And it's like, dude, that's not like, if I had a favorite musician and they were coming from one style, and the next time I heard them, they were doing something completely different, maybe I'll like it, maybe I won't.
You don't really know.
But I also think that a lot of God Forbid fans are probably like me, and I think that they have grown with the music. So there's probably a lot of people who are like me, or maybe their tastes have changed and they're kind of into more diverse groups. I've also heard from certain people saying, hey, Doc, I'm really glad you're doing something that's different.
Right.
And that you didn't just do something predictable. So it's, and the truth is, this music probably has a broader reach than God Forbid anyway.
I agree with that.
So it who's to know? But right now I'm kind of reaching out to, I have to reach out to people in my circle, because that's really all I can do. Unless it starts getting picked up by more radio and more, kind of, it gets more a natural buzz or going on.
But, which I have a feeling it's going to.
We'll see. I think right now it's like, going back to what I said before about one thing at a time, right now it's just about meeting this goal. And then once it's actually done, and the thing is, the turnaround's going to be really quick, because
You guys already have a plan like executed, which is amazing. Because a lot of people, I think, that go into Kickstarter or any crowdfunding programs, they don't really plan how they're going to execute the aftermath of it all. And you guys have it obviously mapped out.
Luckily we had everything recorded, so all we had to do was just get it mixed, and I already have the schedule worked out with the producer. So as long as we're funded,
Let's talk about. Okay, I want to interrupt you. I want to talk about your producer really quick. Okay. Forrester Seville. Am I saying that?
Seville? Well, he's Australian. I think he's pronounced it Forrester Seville.
Forrester Seville.
Seville, but I say Seville because I'm from America. We speak American.
So he's obviously Australian. How did you find him? How did you get in contact with him and choose him to be the producer for this EP?
Well, once everything was recorded, which took probably 5 or 6 months after I moved, because we just had a lot of things to figure out. Luckily, our singer did all the work, kind of getting all the files together and doing the editing. He did all his vocals on his own, and him and Aiden did all like the keyboard parts and electronic stuff. So once everything was done, I was like, we need a really good mixer, because some of our core tones were not ideal. Mm-hmm. So we needed someone to kind of, it's like, take that lemons and turn it into lemonade. And I've seen that before with great mixers. So what I did is I composed a list of all my, like, the best rock producers and mixers. And some of them were like super big guys, and some were like maybe kind of new and up and coming. And I hit them all up, and I was like, hey, I got this band. We're looking, we need our record mixed. Just kind of seeing kind of what your rates are, we don't have a ton of money. So, obviously if you could do it, if you'd be interested in doing it on spec or something like that, until we kind of, maybe we could shop it as a record deal, whatever. And then, So I just kind of put it out there, sent them the EP, the unmixed EP, and it got a lot of great feedback. I got some people were like, yeah, it's going to be like $5,000 a song, you know, some like really big people, yeah. You know, and I had some up and coming people who was like really, really affordable. I was like, man, that sounds really awesome. I had some really great producers like, listen, I love this. I want to be involved. Let's figure out a way to make it work. You know, Forrester was one of them. And then I think Jay Rustin, who did like Anthrax and Steel Panther, he actually just didn't have time to do it, so we never got one from him. Mm-hmm. And a couple other guys, and Forrester just got it. And the thing about the reason why I reached out to Forrester, he made this record, one of my favorite albums ever. It's Carnival Sound Awake. And it sounds just monstrous. And it sounds like I reached out to rock producers.
Right.
I did not want a metal guy,
right,
or gal. To work on the record, I wanted it to sound like a rock recording and have, you know, just, I wanted, we recorded the album live. We ultimately didn't get to keep everything from that, but I wanted it to feel organic, and capture that, you know. So, and these, you know, Carnival and a lot of the other bands that he's worked with, Dead Letter Circus, Butterfly Effect, are kind of in the same realm musically, mm-hmm. I think is what we do. We're not probably quite as progressive and maybe airy as some of those bands, but he understands, and probably being a producer who develops some of those bands probably has something to do with why those bands sound the way they do. So he just did so many things with every instrument to elevate it. He did some really creative things with effects to really make parts work a little bit more. I just thought he knocked it out of the park. So. Yeah, and then we told him, you know, that we were going to do a Kickstarter. We asked him if we could use the track, you know, because he's basically doing this for, right as of now, he hasn't been paid yet.
Right.
So he basically gave us a mix for free until we, you know, we're on the, you know, we're basically on the hook. No matter what, we have to pay for this song that he mixed. But, you know, as long as, basically, once we're funded, because we will be funded.
You will be funded.
That's how we do it around here. Yeah, he's going to start basically beginning of December, and we'll have it, because this song is pretty much mixed, so we'll probably maybe do a little tweaks on this one, but he has, you know, a few more songs. He'll be done mid-December, and as long as the rest of the artwork is done, you know, for the rest of the layout, you know, people will probably have people who got the digital download will probably have it at Christmas.
Gotcha.
So it's like, so I think that's a really cool turnaround, because it's not like people sitting there and waiting, and then...
Well, we'll get to all of that, because I want to talk about all of the Kickstarter, but I want to play this song. I'm like so antsy to play this freaking song.
Turn it up.
Oh, good.
Turn it up.
Turn it up right now. This is Do You Know Who I Am from Vagus Nerve off of Visceral, which I really like that name, by the way.
Well, Visceral as of relating to the nervous system.
Well, I understood that.
You see?
It all
ties together. Well, plus if you look at the artwork, there's actually a lot of stuff that revolves around that as well. So
it's true. All right, well, this is Do You Know Who I Am, so turn it up and enjoy. We'll be right back.
Desperate as I struggle through this, it's such a pity wasting my time. Yeah. such a sad little child of a man. Rosy little cheeks like you, but now building a snowman. They walk on you, you try to walk on them. Well, titles and suits don't ever make them.
Are back. That was Do You Know Who I Am from Vegas Nerve, and I am still here with Doc Coyle.
What's up? Do I look adequately ready? Do I look enthusiastic?
You look enthusiastic now, and you're ready to go.
Okay, good.
Dude, that song sounds so good. I love it.
Thank you.
Love it.
Good. I'm glad you like it.
I am a big fan. I can't wait to hear everything when it's finally all out. And I know I'll be getting it because I am a contributor to your Kickstarter fund.
You did. You're a big helper, and we appreciate. I seriously, like, everyone who gives, and you know, like I said, you're not giving, you're contributing, because everyone gets something. You know, I don't consider it a donation, and I don't want people to consider it a charity. Like, I want people who actually want the products we are offering. And want to support it and really like what we're doing.
I don't know how to say his name.
Gustavo Sazes.
Gustavo Sazes. I wasn't sure how to say
that. You're from Brazil. Viva Brazil.
Yeah. Well, his artwork is amazing.
Yeah, he good.
And I know that you have known him since, God forbid, because he did artwork on Earth's Blood and Equilibrium. Am I right?
Well, my brother, I think, found him somewhere. I don't know, but he had already done some pretty well known stuff. Like, he had done stuff for Firewind, which is Gus G from Ozzy Osbourne's like power metal band, and he had done some stuff for Krizian, which is a pretty well known death metal band from, where are they from? From Central America or South America? So he wasn't like a completely unknown, but he hadn't done like a big album cover yet. Mm-hmm. So he started doing some merchandise for us, and he was very, very affordable, because I guess our money just goes there a little farther, or he's just a nice guy to us. And he's just really quick and really like, just like, hey, you can do this. And it's like, boom, he does it really quick, and it just looks incredible.
It's beautiful. And I love the colors that you guys picked to go with everything.
I didn't pick nothing. That's all him.
He did great. Yeah. It's beautiful looking.
Well, the thing that's cool about Gus.
It's symmetrical.
Is he is inspired by the music. So you send him the music, and I remember, like, he immediately came back. He's like, I love this. This is incredible. I'm so excited. This is before he did anything.
Right.
And he's like, I'm so excited to work on this. He did our logo. He did, there's some symbols that you'll see, like, yep. on the hoodie. You know, there's like different kind of symbols that he made, and everything is kind of started. All right, so we did the logo, then we did some symbols, then we moved on to the actual. I can't do it. Did he do the T-shirts or the album cover first? I think he might have did. I can't remember when he did first, but you know, it was like a really slow process of getting all that stuff together, because we had to have it done before everything launched. You know, we couldn't come to this and not have an album cover.
Right. Well, I remember you working on this months ago, like going back and forth with.
Yeah. Because the thing is too, is we all had to like, it's like, hey guys, I need a logo. It's going to be this amount of money. If everyone can PayPal me this much. And it's like sometimes guys didn't have money and they couldn't.
Right.
So you're like, and everyone's contributing to this thing. That's not even like, it's not like we're getting in a jam room and having like the benefit of having fun and doing normal band stuff. It's almost like I said, it's like having this little mistress, like by getting hotel rooms in the middle of the night or something, like, you know. And it's really just this thing that everyone was, I think it's pretty amazing. It's so hard to even get guys to like chip in on a rehearsal or something, spend $6 on a couple hours of rehearsal, but I have guys who are across the country and not know what's going to happen and like really be invested in something. That I think it shows how much people really, you know, the people involved really cared about this. And it's been a long haul. We've been working on it for a while.
Yeah.
But Gustavo was amazing. And I think it really captured, like, when you hear the music and then all of a sudden you have a visual component to it. That's when the first time I was like, oh, it felt like a real band. Or because it was like, oh, this is actually a little bit, all of a sudden it ties the two things together, you know. And
well, that's something with bands that I've been noticing a lot more lately, is that they're not taking into consideration the flow of everything, from, you know, art to the music to, you know, even what you're going to be wearing on like a hoodie or a t-shirt or whatever. But it all needs to be integrated. It all needs to be cohesive. And when something isn't, it just seems off, you know, like it doesn't really make sense. But your artwork and your music, you're absolutely right. They go hand in hand. Like it's a beautiful blend.
Well, it should give you the if the artwork feels like how the music sounds, then I think that's when you're doing it right. And you know, I it was my idea to go with Gus. You know, that's not me like patting myself on the back or anything, but it's, I had a feeling knowing his style. I was like, I think he could nail this. And I came to him, I was like, listen, I don't want it to look like metal merchandise, you know, or designs. You know, I want it to be a little bit slicker, a little bit, and a little more elegant. And I think
it is.
I think when you come out like that and kind of have all this stuff, it just gives the band a little more legitimacy and professional,
professional image.
Yeah. I think it was so important, especially when you're trying to put, you know, maybe push, you know, t-shirts and so like that hoodie, like I feel like people would buy that hoodie not even knowing who the band was.
I was just going to say that. And I was going to say too, I think the hoodie and the t-shirt, I think they both go well for a male or female. Yeah. I think like that's what's really cool too, is that it can be co-ed as opposed to like, all right, this t-shirt's for a dude or this t-shirt's for a chick. It's like, actually they both work so well for both. It's really great, because that's very hard for most bands to create something that both, you know, sexes are gonna want. So that's really cool.
No, it's I'm glad we really took our time with that, because it wasn't like Gus, he doesn't just send you one t-shirt. He gives you 5-6 different options, you know, and
that's awesome.
Picking the right, and there were some other cool things in there, and it gives some options down the road. But it's with merchandise also, it's very much supply and demand. It's like, absolutely, you know, hopefully even once this is done, people will want that stuff, and we can continue selling some of that stuff, so that, you know, people who do. I think, you know, merchandise is so much about people really wanting to it's almost like the original, like, oh, I'm gonna share this on my page.
Yeah,
but someone wearing your shirt, they're literally like,
they're repping you. Yeah, absolutely.
And it has a lot more to do with their identity and mm-hmm. broadcasting their identity kind of to the world. So yeah, we'll see what will happen. But I'm glad. I would say this with like logos, like if you make one good logo, you never have to make another logo again.
Never again.
Like, yeah. Just get it right the first time. And it's easier said than done. But I think at least in those realms, we got started on the right foot, thankfully.
Yeah. Oh, totally. And so going back to your Kickstarter, we were just discussing how you're saying, you know, it's a contributing thing. So you're getting something from it. You guys have some really cool things that you're giving away, aside from the usual from a band, which is, you know, your t-shirt, hoodies. You know, I know that you're giving away some of your picks, your custom picks, and mm-hmm. you had custom drumsticks made.
I ain't giving away nothing. I want some of that hard cash. What you got? Visa? MasterCard? What you got? What
we
you
take
got
on it all. You? Swipe it. But I love that you guys are doing like guesting on someone's album, or you're doing get a guitar lesson from you, which I noticed you already have a few of those sold. Yeah. Ravi has a few voice lessons sold already. I think that's just like really cool in a different way to go about that. And then not only is it, you know, asking people to contribute to, you know, the project that you already have going, but then it's kind of like you're going to also be contributing to a project that they might, you know, have going. So that's really cool. Yeah.
No, I mean, I've done that before anyway, kind of like people reach out for me to do guest guitar solos, or I've kind of put that out there, especially when I first moved here and I was like, you know, just looking for work. So that's something that actually, I know I've already sold one of those, and I know I have someone else that wants to do it. And I'm like, listen, if you were looking at maybe having me do a guest guitar solo on your record, might as well do it now.
Do it now, yeah. Do
you
it
know,
now.
And be a part of the process, and something that will last forever. Mm-hmm. You know, the way I look at it, and it's fun. Like, you know, and it's, listen, why do these guitar? Someone that contributed a guitar lesson. Like, I just had a guy. Actually, like, I didn't even get a chance to respond to him, but he bought a guitar lesson, and then he wanted to buy another one, but I guess it doesn't, you have to just add money on top of it. You can't another perk. So for whatever reason, but he wants to buy a guitar lesson for someone with cancer.
Oh,
you know, which is pretty, that's pretty crazy. You know, that's pretty heavy, yeah. You know, because it is, you know, I've been teaching guitar for, you know, a long time, and it's something I my father's a piano teacher. It's something that's kind of part of, you know, teaching is kind of part of who I am, and to a certain degree at this point. So, you know, it's something like that is just very personal.
Yeah.
You know, and being part of this, I'm probably even going to take it more seriously even than if I was doing a regular guitar lesson. Cause right. It's like, you know, you've contributed, and I really owe you that time, you know, and quality time.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
It's like with your girlfriend. It's like, you know what I'm saying? Quality time.
Not quantity, quality.
That's right. We will hold hands in the park and you will like it.
And then we will take selfies. So what, you guys have already reached over 100 people backing you. Yeah. You're not asking for a lot of money. 5,000 is your goal. A little percentage of that will go to Kickstarter, I know. Yeah. But for the most part, you guys have broken down exactly what you're going to be using your money towards, which is great. So you know exactly what you're contributing to, what you're getting, and what you guys are going to be getting out of that. And hopefully you do go over your mark. That would be great. I think that you're probably going to hit that.
Yeah, we just hit, right as of the recording of this, this is, we're at 65%. So it's good because we had a couple like really slow days, and then last couple days have been really good. But I think as it gets closer to the end, it's going to start ramping up.
Yeah, we're going to have a little over a week left now. So you're going to definitely hit it. You're definitely going to hit that goal.
Yeah, I knock on wood. But the thing is, the way I look at it, I had one stretch where like I moved, and then I had to work a few days, and I had a bunch of meetings. So I had like 4 days where I could do very little.
Right.
But other than that, it's like pretty much all I've been doing. And, you know, I feel like, you know, reaching out to, you know, doing things like this.
Yeah. Well, like you said earlier, this is your job right now. Yeah. This is your job, is getting this out. I mean, you are doing the Kickstarter. You have 30 days to get that done. It's really like you do or die. You go and you go hard. You got to get it done.
Yeah. And the thing is with this too, is the other members of the band don't have quite the public image right. I do, or they, you know, or people that are following them personally, or the background. So not unfortunately, a lot of it falls on me.
Right. Which you already knew.
Yeah. I knew that going in. Cause I remember I was talking to Tommy Vex says hi. He's like, mention me on the podcast.
Hi, Tommy Vex.
Tubby's a cool guy. So I did it. And he's like, and I'm telling about the stuff and I'm like, see, he's all tired. And he's like, man, that's a lot of work. Almost saying like, why would you do that? I'm like, I know you do it because it's hard. Cause it's difficult, you know, but the way I look at it is, especially when you have something that's time sensitive, it's like you can't, I'll put this off till tomorrow. You can't. You know, so it's like, but kind of go back to what I was saying before about doing different kinds of things. You know, instead of just, I feel like some people, they might just like, I'll just go on Facebook and post. It's like, that's just scratching the surface. Yeah. You know, it's, you know, me writing an article. Hey, listen, I feel like I get more attention for my writing now than I do music half the time. So it's like, all right, well, let me use that platform
absolutely
as a different way because you have to present in a lot of ways maybe a similar type of information in a different platform mm-hmm. and connect to people.
As far as the internet can reach, as personal as you can get, the better it is, because that's when it touches people more, you know.
That's all that really matters, because when it comes down to it, most bands that do well in with Kickstarters and crowdfunding are bands that already have a following.
A following, right.
But this band has, you know, I basically, when the day I launched this, we had 300 Facebook likes.
Right.
No one had ever heard of me outside of a few people I had played it for personally.
Right.
Or maybe a few industry people I perhaps sent a song. No one had heard this. So there's nothing. And I'm basically relying on people who may have been God Forbid fans or fans of me personally, or, you know, friends and family and people like that to kind of come in to like, hey, here's this new thing. Give me money. Like, it's a bit of it. And it's way different than shit I've done before. So it's a bit of a stretch. You know, as soon as I launched, I was like, man, I'm kind of bold with this, you know, because it's not a lot of money in the grand scheme of things. But considering the situation, it, you know, you're like, oh, this is going to be a challenge. This is not something, because I feel like some people do Kickstarters and they'll raise like 60% of their goal in like a day.
Right.
You know, right. And after the first day, I was like, oh, this is going to be a grind, you know.
And your biggest thing that you're putting on the Kickstarter was you have a signed ESP guitar, correct?
Yeah, we do. Mm-hmm. It's an Eclipse, which is I play. I have two of them. Yeah, and this is the one. Whatever you want to do with it, you know, you want me to sign it, you want me to play a guitar solo, record it, and then send it to you, or paint something. I don't know, whatever you want. But there's only one of them, so someone better get it, or I'm gonna buy it. You know,
that's awesome. That's a really good one to get, though. I think if I had the money, I mean, I'm just saying. But listen, I don't play guitar.
All you rich motherfuckers out there, you know,
spend your money in a good way and help this band out, will you?
That's right. One of these people that buys like, you know, $500 bottle of whiskey or something. You know, this is like whiskey you can play
forever.
That's right.
That won't run out.
I was actually thinking about that, because I was like, who did I see? I saw my friend, and she's like, I would help, but I'm broke. And she's like buying drinks and shit. I'm like, yo, we should have like had like Vegas Nerve beer.
Right. Vegas Nerve.
Because motherfuckers be broke, but you always have some money for a drink if you drink.
Yep. You're right. You're absolutely.
Or cigarettes.
I love it when I go out to the bar and I go and then I'm so broke. But then there's the $100 beer tab. I'm like, okay.
Listen, so priorities, man. Priorities.
Tell me about it.
I get it. You know, I always made that joke. Like, some people, you'll see a lot of bands who said, like, man, people will go out there and they'll spend $5 on a cup of coffee, but they won't buy my record. And I'm like, yo, man, coffee is great.
Yeah.
It's amazing. It's
don't
a
mess
drug.
With my coffee.
That's right. I need coffee. I don't need your album. You know,
if I don't listen to your album, I'm not going to get a headache. But if I don't drink my coffee, I'm going to get one.
Do you see the smile on my face when I'm drinking that coffee? You know, that shit, it's amazing. I think, you know what I'm saying, if you're like me, you think about coffee the night before, like you're excited for the coffee tomorrow. You know, and I didn't have coffee today because I needed to like take a day off. But, you know, I might have to break my coffee edge and then make you have you make me some Jess Bucks.
It's coffee. So good. It's so good. Just Bucks. I like that. They'll be lining up around the corner.
Hey, a lot of small business started that way. I was just making some brownies, and then my friend got them, and next thing you know, I'm Little Debbie. That's how it started.
Oh, my God. All right. Well, that's how Little Debbie started, but Vegas Nerve is getting started with Kickstarter. So I'm very excited. So you have a little over a week left to go. You're going to hit this. I know you will. I know you will. You'll get there.
I believe it. And the reason why, that's the main reason why I wanted to do a Kickstarter was I wanted, because I felt like if the band would have just came out, like let's say we would have did a record deal, right? And it came out on such and such records. I wouldn't have had to work this hard. I wouldn't have had to reach out to people and get right in their face and have them say, hey, man, this is this new thing and I really want you to check it out. And the people who do contribute, and I've done, and I know because I've done this, when you contribute, you feel more connected to that that band. And especially if they continue to do things and they continue, you know, so it's about building a relationship and coming out the gate and also being independent, you know. And if we do sign with a record label, I think they'll respect the band for having done all this work, you know, and build, trying to do something on our own and not going with our, you know, technically, I guess we are going with our handout, but, but you know, but not to a record label.
Right.
And saying, you need to build this band. No, we're saying we're going to build the band ourselves and we're going to, you know, we're going to take the initiative. And if those things come, great. If it doesn't, that's fine too. And if nothing ever happens with this band, like if this is it, we just do this, at least we'll know we did it right. And we started it and we finished it.
Right.
And it's out there. It's out there and it's part of, you know, what, you know, it's out there in the ether. You know, I mean, I'm sure there's bands we know that, you know, maybe they did one record, but that it's still one of your favorite records.
Right.
You know, like if you listen to like, you know, Temple of Dog or something like that.
Oh my God, I was just listening to them the other day. Yeah.
But that's just a one-off record, but it matters, you know, still. So it's not about, oh, they went on, they did on to the stadium tour. It's like, who cares? Like, why? We're always so worried about
the next thing.
Yeah. Instead of just like, let's just do this right and we'll see what happens, you know. And it's, I think for some people in the industry, they're very uncomfortable with that. Like, cause they're like, what are we doing? What are you doing? What's the plan? When are you going on tour? I was like, yo, man, calm down.
We'll get there if we get there. Yeah, but right now, this is what we're doing.
Well, I would say, like, if this band doesn't go move past this and all it is, that means I can just move on to the next thing and work on something else and put my creative energy somewhere else. But I would like to do this if it works out. But there's other pieces in place. There's other people. There's other things you have to worry about. It's not just about, we're going to do it, man. All right, fucking move here. We're going on tour. We're going to make no money. You're going to be homeless. You're going to like it.
And that is the life of a true musician.
You've seen it happen before,
I know,
right?
I know. All right, Doc. Well, thank you so much for being on my show. I really appreciate it.
It's about time. It took a while, but we did it at the right time.
It's true. And you'll be back. You'll be back. This is the first, but it won't be. Well, technically, you were on the NAMM show.
I was.
But that was a small little snippet.
I forgot about that. Until just now, I was like, didn't I do something else? Yeah. I did.
But that wasn't here. You were in studio. We were on location. But this is the first, hopefully, of many more. And I really wish you all the best of luck with your Kickstarter.
Thank you. Thanks for contributing. Thanks for having me.
Of course.
You are the best ever.
Thank you, sir. And for everybody else, please go to dotcoil.net. And that is your website. Are you flexing your man boobs over there?
Was I?
I think you were.
Oh, I'm just like, I think I'm in need of a donut. I'm like, my blood sugar is getting low and like my body is starting to spasm.
All right, let me finish it really quick then. but dotcoil.net, go on there, all of his, you can click to your Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, all of that there.
I'm going to cut in, but
go ahead.
My Twitter and Instagram is at dotcoil, DOCCOYLE. Facebook/dotcoil. And then for Vegas Nerve, it's Facebook/Vegas Nerve Band. And that's the same thing for Vegas Nerve Band, same thing for Instagram and Twitter. Mm-hmm. And then with the Kickstarter, just Google Vegas Nerve Kickstarter. And that's VAGUS.
Yep. VAGUSNERVE.
And nerve as in, you got a lot of nerve.
Oh, Dot Coyle, always the comedian, sir. I loved having you on. Thank you so much. And guys, get out there, contribute, get onto Kickstarter. I did, because it is going to be well worth it to do. So I hope that you guys enjoy. And I'm going to play another little snippet.
Just a snippet.
Just a snippet.
Just a little taste.
Little tease for you.
Like you had donuts before, this is like a munchkin.
Yeah, this is a munchkin. I like that. This is a munchkin of another song from Vegas Nerve. So enjoy. And remember, create your own universe. Have a good one, guys.
This place is not a home, this place is just a tomb. It's the tomb of the king, he took everything. We built him a temple and he locked us in. Hey, I got-